This week's Red Dwarf has been confused and we do not know if this is episode 4 or 5. It will be released as episode 4, but if we hear differently after release, changes will be made accordingly. Thank you for your cooperation.
Body Swap.
Red Dwarf. A scutter with wires in its mouth behaves erratically. In a lab, Crichton and Rimmer are hunched over a computer terminal displaying a horrendously complex circuit diagram. Rimmer is giving instructions to Crichton.
Turn. There's another. Circuit board Epsilon 14598, Red Corridor 357.
Rerouted.
Turn. And another. Circuit board Theta 29555, Blue Corridor 212.
Lister enters shuffling a deck of cards.
What's happening, guys? It's 10:30. I thought we were playing poker.
Where have you been? Didn't you get the message?
What message?
One of the scutters has gone bananas. He's completely rewired the maintenance decks back to front and upside down. We've got over 2,000 wiring faults. Don't breathe. Don't touch anything.
Rimmer looks hard at Lister.
The whole ship is a gigantic booby trap.
Lister is crestfallen.
No poker then.
Rimmer looks at Lister as if to say,
you don't understand the gravity of this situation.
He then talks to Lister.
We can't find the auto-destruct system. It's wired up to something but we don't know what. Tell the cat.
Lister stumps off, looking devastated.
It's taken me ages to mark these cards.
Lister is leading Kev along a red-lit corridor.
So we can't touch anything?
Nothing electrical. Not until we get the all clear.
How long's that going to take?
God knows.
Lister approaches the vending machine, looks at it hard and places an order.
Milkshake and a crispy bar.
He turns back to Kat, satisfied that his order has been placed.
We were just playing poker tonight. That's gone for a burn.
Auto-destruct sequence initiated. Initiated destruction in 15 minutes. 14 minutes, 55 seconds and counting.
Kat and Lister look at each other, stunned, as warning noises sound. Kat keeps his cool.
That's a very dumb thing you just did then.
I know. I wasn't thinking.
Red Dwarf will self-destruct in 14 minutes and 50 seconds.
Kat is terrified. He turns round in circles several times before realizing what he is doing and running towards the door. Lister, petrified of what Rimmer would say, turns back to the vending machine.
Cancel. Clear.
Abandon ship. You have 13 minutes and 45 seconds to detonation.
Lister is whimpering. He uses violence against the vending machine, begging it to stop. First, he punches it and hits several buttons.
Cancel.
You have 12 minutes and 45 seconds to...
Lister kicks the machine.
Cancel.
You have 10 minutes and 45 seconds.
Lister attempts to throw the machine. Failing that, he shakes it violently.
Cancel.
You have 9 minutes and 45 seconds.
Control room. Kat is walking around. Rimmer strides in, looking very cross.
I said touch nothing. Didn't I say touch nothing?
Look, I just ordered a shake and a crispy bar.
Lister now has a very pleading quality as one would when one has just initiated the end of an entire spaceship.
You're lucky you didn't order a double cheeseburger.
8 minutes, 20 seconds and counting.
How do we switch it off?
The only person who can override the auto-destruct is the captain.
Dead.
Or one of the senior officers.
Dead.
In many ways I should have updated the system, really.
Is there any way that we can trick the machine into thinking one of us is the captain?
No. It checks his voice and brain scan against its databanks.
Auto-destruct in 8 minutes, 10 seconds and counting.
Think of something, please. You are supposed to have an IQ of 6,000. Think of something.
I'm thinking.
Self-destruct in 8 minutes and counting.
Well,
I've been through the whole of my database, collated every single option, and there are 3 realistic alternatives. 1. Sit here and get blown up. 2. Stand here and get blown up. 3. Jump up and down, shout at me for not being able to think of anything, then get blown up.
There must be something.
Perhaps we could try a mind swap.
Lab. Lister is tied down to a chair looking anything but happy to be there.
It's something we tried once on Nova 5. It uses exactly the same science as generating a hologram. We wipe all your brain patterns and put them on a storage disk. Then we transfer the captain's mind from his hologram personality disk into your empty brain.
And you tried this on the Nova 5?
Oh yes.
Did it work?
No. But I'm pretty sure I know what went wrong. 4 minutes to self-destruct and counting.
So the captain's mind will be in my body?
Yes. Then, hopefully, the self-destruct will think you are the captain, and you can activate the override.
But where will my mind be?
Crichton holds up a small cassette.
On this. 3 minutes, 50 seconds, and counting.
Rimmer and Cat enter the room.
We couldn't find the captain's disk, but what about Brown? Brown was executive officer.
Yeah. Brown's got clearance.
Crichton holds a large nebula with wiles coming from it. Lister is worried.
Crichton, what's that for?
It's a mental emetic.
A what?
A mind enema. So we can flush out your brain.
Nobody's flushing out my brain.
We'll transfer it back afterwards.
You are not sticking that thing in my head.
The cat is drinking a cup of coffee in the background.
1 minute and 40 seconds and counting.
We've got two. It's our only chance.
Smack off.
Look, man, I'm not asking you to do this just for me. I'm asking, well, pleading with you, I'm begging you do it for the sake of my suits. Are you just gonna stand by and let my scarlet PVC morning suit with the imitation King Penguin fur collars get loaned to smithereens?
Lister nods.
Could you live with yourself?
Lister nods again.
1 minute, 30 seconds and counting.
Look, Lister, I agree it's a stupid idea. It almost certainly won't work. But the very worst that can happen, the absolute bottom line, is that you'll have to spend the rest of your life as a mindless gibbering vegetable. But if the rest of your life is going to be 30 seconds, what the hell?
Do it.
Crichton swaps his right temple with the cotton ball and then inserts the needle. As it sucks out Lister's mind, his face takes on a more vacant expression until he is completely cross-eyed and his tongue sits rather stupidly almost out of his mouth. Crichton presses some keys on the keyboard, storing Lister's mind onto a storage medium. He then turns to the cat, handing him the cassette.
Keep that safe, it's Lister's mind.
As they are all looking at it, Cat drops it into a mug of coffee. Rimmer recalls very quickly. Cat, looking most apologetic, but not quite managing to hide an evil smirk, removes the cassette from his coffee and slinks off. Crichton begins to place Brown's mind into Lister. Once complete, Lister looks very surprised.
55 seconds to detonation.
What's happening? What the hell is going on?
Rimmer stands to attention.
Ah, sir. There is no time to explain, but, by a bizarre series of accidents, the ship auto-destruct system has got switched on and we need you to deactivate it.
Something's wrong. Something feels different. Wait a minute, I never used to be a man.
Look, you stupid woman, we'll explain later.
Why have I got male sexual organs?
If we don't override the auto-destruct system within the next 20 seconds, those male sexual organs will be in orbit around the nearest planet, along with everyone else's organs, sexual or otherwise.
15 seconds to detonation.
Abort sequence X1X.
Identify.
Carol Brown, Executive Officer, Security Clearance 010101.
Pause for verification. Verification rejected. Abort denied. Auto-destruct sequence continued. Detonation in 5 seconds.
Crichton looks pretty upset. Rimmer and Kat are speaking to Crichton.
Sense-making sensational.
4.
Well done, Sphinx Face.
3.
What a brilliant, brilliant plan.
2.
Just great.
Brown is struggling in the seat.
1. Initiate self-destruct.
The vending machine shoots out a milkshake and a crispy bar.
Command error in parameter, thank you for using the auto-serve dispensing machines. Number 1 in quality, number 1 in taste.
What happened?
It must have been wired up to the warning system, but not the bomb.
So where's the bomb?
We haven't got a bomb.
What?
I got rid of it ages ago.
Why didn't you say?
You never asked.
Fine, terrific.
Cat then turns to Crichton, a look of malice on his face.
But remember this, you're getting my underwear bill, buddy.
Sleeping quarters. Rimmer and Lister are lying on beds.
You awake?
Yeah. Can't sleep.
Probably those kippers you had for supper.
Nothing wrong with kippers for supper.
But kippers vento can't be good for you. I mean, a curry every night. That cannot be good for you. Certainly no good for me. I'm thinking of getting a canary in a cage.
Why?
To check out the room, see if it is safe to use.
Come on, it's not that bad.
Not that bad. You don't sweat wet, you sweat made of sauce.
Why all the sudden interest in my diet?
It's not just your diet, Lister. It's your health in general. Face facts. You eat crap, you don't exercise, you smoke, you drink, and frankly, it's beginning to show.
I'm okay.
You're getting porky.
Porky.
Last week when there was that lights failure in the engine room, your silhouette was cast onto the wall. I got the fright of my life. I thought it was Alfred Hitchcock.
Are you saying I've got a gut?
You have got more gut than a Turkish butcher's shop window.
Lister is worried.
Hang on, no, really. Do you think I've put on weight?
You've reached that age, Listy. When you're younger you can eat what you like, drink what you like and still climb into your 26-inch waist trousers and zip them closed. Then you reach that age, 24, 25, your muscles give up. They wave a little white flag and then, without any warning at all, you're suddenly a fat bastard.
I'm not fat, I'm porky.
Have you ever, in dissection class, held up a frog by its head?
Hand gestures support Rimmer's speech.
You know the way its belly sort of sticks out above its spindly little legs. Well, that's the picture I see when you get down from the bunk in the morning.
He lies back down.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
He examines his belly from his reclined position.
Yeah, I'm gonna start working out in the gym.
Thinking the conversation is over, he returns to his comic.
Of course, you could always... No, you'd never agree to it.
Lister leans down to Rimmer's bunk.
What?
We could do a swap, my mind in your body, yours in mine.
Lister lies back down shaking his head and smiling, thinking...
What a ludicrous idea this is. You saw how easy it was withdrawn. Lend me your body for a few weeks and I'll get it fit for you. Plenty of exercise, sensible diet, no more booze, no more sickies. It'll be like a 12,000-mile service for your body.
His thoughts break off.
What, and in the meantime I'm a hologram?
It won't be too bad if it's only for a couple of weeks.
You're talking as if it were a pair of hedge trimmers or a lawnmower or something.
I'd give it you back, I'd return it intact. More than intact, if it be fitter.
Look, Rimmer. You... are... not... having... possession... of... my... body.
What are you worried about? How can I treat it any worse than you do? You admit you don't look after it, don't exercise it, don't feed it properly. I would. What do you say?
In Red Dwarf, we hear sounds of mind-swapping type activity. Minutes later, Rimmer and Lister emerge from the lab, bodies swapped. Lister's voice comes from Rimmer's larynx as he says,
No Welshin.
Of course not.
A fortnight.
14 days.
Lister makes the movement of holding up two fingers, actually Rimmer's. He does it as if they were his own.
2 weeks.
Absolutely doodly.
He opens the jacket, Lister's, and indicates with hand gestures that it doesn't smell very nice. Rimmer, in Lister's body, is standing in the shower room at what turns out to be a urinal and is putting some very thick red plastic gloves on. He removes his hat with disdain and dons a pair of eye covers. He is humming the Grand Old Duke of York to himself. Removing a pair of tongs from his back pocket, he then unzips his fly and, using the tongs, proceeds in alleviating himself. Suddenly he stops, removes his eye covers and looks down. He looks up with a face that looks very shocked at what it has just seen.
What's this under his nails? Oh my god!
He places a bottle of Ajax's scouring detergent on a recess in the wall and grabs a bottle of what appears to be Domestos.
I'm going to have this dirt carpeted.
Lister is in the corridor, where he passes a mirror and catches a glimpse of himself.
This hat is making stupid. I look like Captain Emerald. Holly, do something about it, mate.
Okay, Dave.
Now Rimmer's body is decked in the black leather gear we normally associate with Lister.
Brutal.
Sleeping quarters. Crichton is pouring some red wine into a glass that is sitting in what appears to be a very large and sumptuous feast. Dressed in a bathrobe, Rimmer enters the room humming to himself.
Luncheon, sir.
Rimmer grabs Lister's hairlocks, removing most of them with an electric carving knife.
Ah! Food! Real food! To eat, purchase to taste!
It's exactly as you ordered, sir, the lightly poached million bladderfish, the 4,000 oysters, the duck's feet and abalone sauce.
I can touch! I can taste! I can smell!
He gets very excited and grabs some food.
Roast buckling pig stuffed with chestnuts and truffles.
Crichton places an extremely large plate of mashed potato in front of Rimmer.
Mashed potato.
With cream and butter.
A pint of cream and a full pound of butter, sir.
Let the orgy commence.
He starts stuffing food and drink into his mouth and then slumps his head forward into the potato. He then pours gravy over his head. Lister enters and looks stunned with this turn of events.
How's the diet going?
Rimmer does a thumbs up sign with his head still buried in the potato. It is night in the sleeping quarters. Rimmer is still in a bathrobe and is smoking a cigar.
Do you know something? I think I went temporarily insane. It was just too much. I haven't tasted food in 3,000,002 years. All that food. I was like an animal.
I want my body back. No.
Lister is lying on his right side supporting his head with his bent arm, and in contrast to Rimmer, does not look relaxed.
Oh look! It won't happen again! It was just something I had to get out of my system.
My system? Why you smoking?
One cigar!
You are supposed to be getting me fit.
I'll start tomorrow.
You better believe in it, too.
It is day. We see Lister in the corridor dressed in Rimmer's green suit and hat carrying a briefcase. Cat walks past him and then does a double take.
Hey, what are you doing dressed like that? Why do you want to look like Gopa's head? Have you flipped? You want to model yourself on a man who has ears so large that they can pick up satellite TV? Why do you want to look like the Snakehead Rimmer for?
Because,
poking Cat in the eye,
I am that Snakehead Rimmer.
With a smug look on his face, Rimmer departs. Large Poppet. Rimmer sits reading a muscle magazine.
Please, these are meant to be women.
He turns over the magazine and we get to see the picture that has just engrossed Rimmer.
Ah, this is what I call training.
Sleeping quarters. Cat has his back to us and his hair is untied. They are playing Scrabble. Lister points to letters in his rack.
That letter, and that letter there.
We see that he is having the first go, and we see his rack which has the letters D, A, T, E left on it.
Hey, I've got you now.
Cat is holding out his letters up for Lister to see.
J, O, Z, X, Y, Q, K.
That's not a word.
It's a cat word.
Lister attempts to pronounce the cat word.
That's not how you pronounce it.
What's it mean?
It's the sound you get when you get your sexual organs trapped in something.
Cat demonstrates with his hands a book shutting and pronounces the word again.
Is it in the dictionary?
Well, it could be, if you were reading in the mood and you closed the book too quickly.
Cat minds this action and says the word again. The conversation is interrupted by Rimmer, striding into the room looking like he has been working out and feels great.
Ah, what a session. What a workout. No pain, no gain, Listy.
Lister jumps up and down with excitement.
On the scales. I want to weigh you.
There's no need. Look at that stomach.
He demonstrates by rubbing Lister's stomach.
Flat as a pancake. Hasn't been like that in years.
Scales, please.
There's really no need.
On the scales.
Rimmer steps on the scales.
You've put on 2 stone.
Of course I've put on 2 stone. I've been taking yeast extract, building up your body.
Take the rope off.
What for?
Take it off.
I don't want you looking at my naked body.
It's not your naked body, it's mine.
What's he hiding?
Off with the rope.
Let me just say this.
Off.
Rimmer removes the bedrobe to reveal a pretty pink girdle.
Oh, this is a hernia prevention belt. I must have forgotten to take it off.
It's a girdle.
Course it isn't.
Then why has it got little dangly things for holding up stockings?
They're for attaching extra weights to you so you can get fit just as you walk around.
He fumbles, demonstrating the attachment of weights and walking with them attached.
I want me body back. No.
Look, okay. I went a bit bananas the first few days, but I promise you that's all over now. Don't you see? It's in my interest to get you into shape. This could become a regular thing. 14 days a year I could have your body. In fact, next year, if it's convenient, I would like to book the last 2 weeks of July.
I want it back.
One last chance.
No more troughing.
I promise.
And take that girdle off. It doesn't suit me.
He saunters off happily. Night in the sleeping quarters. We hear picking up noises.
Holly. Lights.
Lister jumps out of bed and finds Rimmer sitting up in bed with a blanket over his head.
Right, that's it. I'm completely sick of it. That is it.
Rimmer is removing the blanket and wiping his hands.
What is it?
He has food all over his chin and mouth.
You've been porking again, haven't you?
I have not.
I want my body back. No.
But I've only had it a week.
This was not the deal. You've welched on it.
He walks away and glances into the rubbish bin.
And what's this in the bin? Me locks. My locks are in the bin. I thought you said you pinned them up.
I did, but they fell off.
Fell off? Science lab, no.
But it's the middle of the night. Crichton is on downtime.
No.
Later on in the sleeping quarters, the guys enter their room as themselves again. Lister rubs his chest.
How many cigars did you get through, Rimmer? Me lungs feel as if they have been through a cheese grater.
You've got your body back. Leave me alone.
Clumma. I only have a couple of rollies a day. It feels as if you've smoked an entire Cuban tobacco harvest.
I had the odd one.
You've no respect, that's what. You've shown my body no respect whatsoever. You've treated it like smack. Look, you've given me breasts. There's a distinct cleavage there. I give you my body and you've given me a bosom.
He walks over to the scales and Rimmer looks to be the unhappy one now.
These scales are wrong. These scales have to be wrong.
It's average for your height.
Rimmer, it would be average for my height if I happened to be a pregnant hippo.
Well, you weren't exactly Charles Atlas to start with, were you?
And you haven't been treating my athlete's foot, have you?
Well, quite frankly, I was afraid of touching it.
I told you, you have to wash and powder my feet 3 times a day. Plus a good buffing with a pumice stone.
I wasn't prepared to touch those things 3 times a day. To tell you the truth, I was only brave enough to take your socks off once.
Look at my stomach. Look at it. Pink gudgeon stripes down me sides and you could float me over the Super Bowl.
Look, I refuse to take the rap for that body. Alright, I added a few pounds to its already ample frame, but it was, let's face it, a wreck before I got anywhere near it.
A wreck?
If it was a car, you would be an insurance write-off. Nothing works. Your taste buds are totally clapped out. You've killed them stone dead with 25 years of non-stop caries. And what about all the aches and pains? You never mention twinges in your back, cramps in your neck. Oh, and I'll give you a little tip, urine should only be green if you're Mr. Spock.
That's the last time you borrow it, that's for goddamn sure.
Getting up and leaving the table.
What about next year? We had an agreement. The last 2 weeks in July and the weekend before Christmas.
What for, Rimmer? It's a wreck.
Unfortunately, it's the best that's available. You can't get 2 weeks in the Caribbean and Grimsby is better than nothing. You can't back out now, you said I could have it.
I only said that to get it back. Do you think I am raving mad? You are never, ever, ever borrowing my body again. Never.
Get some sleep. You'll feel different in the morning.
Corridor. Crichton is pushing a trolley with an unconscious Lister on it.
I am really not sure about this.
Look, you're programmed to obey. Get on with it.
But surely we should ask him first.
I told you, he's agreed. He's perfectly happy about the situation.
Well then, why did you make me chloroform him and why did he struggle so?
Look, I'm in charge, Crichton. I'll take full responsibility.
Oh, but sir...
Science lab, pronto.
Oh.
If he comes around, give him another whack.
Sleeping quarters, morning. It looks like Rimmer is waking up in bed, but we soon see that he is again dressed in Lister's clothes.
Are you awake, man? Rimmer?
He jumps off the bed and notices his arms.
No, please. No.
Noticing the message that has been left.
Play message.
It is Rimmer, dressed in Lister's body once again.
Hi. It's me. I told you you'd feel different in the morning. Thing is, this week has been absolute heaven for me and I couldn't just stand by and let you take your body back. That's why I've taken Starbuck and done a runner. Don't worry, in a month or so I'll come back and return it. Just a month, maybe 6 weeks, but don't try and follow me, otherwise...
Placing a gun against his right temple.
The body gets it.
Cat. Cat.
He runs out of the room. Some other part of the ship.
You want my what?
It'll only take a couple of hours.
You want to take my body?
I need your body to get my body back.
You've already lost one body. Come on, in all seriousness, you really expect me to lend you mine?
I'm a hologram. How else am I supposed to chase him? I need your body.
Let me ask you one question. Would you let a garbage truck driver use your Rolls Royce?
How else can I pilot White Midget?
I'll do it.
Model shot. White Midget leaves Red Dwarf. Then we see Starbuck as it wheels through space to the sound of a symphony. Rimmer is trumpeting along with hand movements, the gun is in the right hand. He opens a trunk load filled with donuts. As the music ends, he places one in his mouth. Lister appears on the monitor behind him.
Rimmer. Rimmer. It's no use running, man, we've got you in visual range. Turn around and head back to the ship.
I told you not to follow me.
Pointing the gun at Lister's image, he goes over to his console and allows them to see him.
Leave me alone or you know what happens.
Placing gun at his right temple again.
He's bluffing.
I'm not bluffing.
I think he means it, man. He's lipped. It must be cream cake poisoning.
He's bluffing. I'm going in after him.
He must be bluffing.
Say he isn't, man.
It's gastronomic terrorism. We can't stand by and let it happen.
Go ahead, punks. Make my day.
You're right. He's bluffing. Smack.
Let's get him.
Puts his feet to the floor and the ship really starts to move. Rimmer goes back to the controls. He drives badly and hits some rocks.
This is getting stupid. Back off. Let him go.
We're almost on him.
It's too dangerous. Let him go.
The white midget backs off and Rin returns around to gloat, oblivious to the nasty-looking outcrop of rocks looming up ahead.
Ha! 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 Chickens! Ha!
He turns back to look where he is going. We see Starbuck hit the rocky outcrop and slam into the ground on the other side. We return to White Midget and view Lister's totally shocked face.
Oh, Smack! What the smackin' smacks he smackin' done? He's smackin' killed me.
Starbuck rear section. Hanging live wires are everywhere in the crashed interior. Lister, Kev and Crichton enter. The sliding door between the cockpit and galley area opens. Rimmer peers around the corner.
Whoops! Are you alright?
You're going to go stir!
What? What is it?
You're going to go absolutely stir!
Rimmer steps up into the doorway. His top is torn below the shoulder.
You've lost me arm.
I lost your watch too.
You bastard.
No, you're right. It's my fault. My hands are up. Well, my hand is up.
He starts to laugh.
You think this is funny?
He is looking as upset as anybody who has just lost an arm would.
No, but this is...
Rimmer brings the missing arm from behind his back and sticking two fingers up on both hands, makes gestures to Lister. He starts laughing and slips over. As Lister looks down at him, Kev and Crichton look at each other and start laughing. We then see White Midget and a brief view of the return flight. Sleeping quarters. Lister is sitting on his bunk with a white blood splattered bandage around his head. He has just attached his locks to some elastic and he places these around his head over the bandage.
Oh, hello. It's Captain Chloroform.
Oh please, Mr. David, sir. My guilt chip is already in overdrive. I feel terrible.
He paused at Lister's leg.
You feel terrible? How about my smacking head?
I had to obey him. It's in my programming to obey all humans, no matter how insane.
He removes the white cover from the trolley he was pushing to show a small portion of food on a plate.
Dinner is served, sir.
Lettuce and a grated carrot. I'm on this for 6 months.
Rimmer's body enters the room looking very stiff.
What's wrong with you? You look like you've seen a ghost.
I was asleep, okay? Next thing I know, Plastic Percy here puts a sponge on my face and out go the lights.
Cat, or Rimmer, moves stiffly to the table and sits down rather grumpily.
It was an order.
Rimmer, or Cat, enters the room carrying a plate of what appears to be mashed potatoes with other foodstuffs stuck in it and sits at the table.
Just one night, I promise. I'll give it back first thing tomorrow. Maybe Thursday.
He slumps his head forward into the potato and starts to thrash it about like a pig again. The end.